This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Well, good evening and welcome to the John Whitmer Show, broadcasting live from the Ramada Hotel in Topeka, brought to you by our friends at Eck Insurance. If you're looking to fulfill your commercial, residential, or, anything, you know, any insurance needs, make sure to reach out to my friends at Eck Insurance. Always happy to be with you and really thrilled to be up here. It's great to be in the heart of it, back in Topeka. And again, thanks to John Eck and my friends at Eck Insurance. Happy you joined us tonight here at your remote liberal resistance, and trust me, there's lots to resist up here in Topeka, where we proudly champion the conservative principles of limited government, individual liberty, free enterprise, and traditional values. If you'd like to join us, you can call in. Our studio lines are open. You can reach me at 316-869-1330 by email at john@knssradio.com, and of course on Facebook and True Social at John R. Whitmer on X, and on Facebook at The John Whitmer Show. Reach out. We'd love to hear from you. We've got a packed show tonight. There are legislators who are already here. They'll pop in throughout the show. And, we've got a good show planned for you tonight. Fantastic lineup. Former UPenn swimmer Paula Scanlon will be with us. She's been on the show before. She'll join us to kick off the 8 o'clock hour to discuss the Trump administration's decision to pause $175 million in federal funding. Paula was a teammate of transgender swimmer Leah Thomas. You may remember him. He's the guy that beat Riley Gaines, who was a mediocre male swimmer, and then he became a female, or pretended to be a female, and all of a sudden he was winning championships. So we'll talk with Paula to kick off the 8 o'clock hour. Curtis Houck from Newsbusters will share a new report that exposes how the Biden administration weaponized 98 federal agencies in order to censor conservatives. Elizabeth Patton from Americans for Prosperity Kansas will be with us to discuss how education freedom is spreading throughout the country and what we need to do to bring school choice to Kansas. Dave Traubert from the Kansas Policy Institute will try and explain why so many Kansas cities and counties are sitting on massive cash reserves and yet are still opposed to any meaningful property tax relief. And Senator Renee Erickson will bring us our weekly Under the Dome legislative update from Topeka. And, of course, we'll be taking your calls at 316-869-1330. I want to start out tonight and address something that's been in the news over the last, too much in the news over the last week or so. At a recent city council meeting, Mayor Lily Wu declined to read and sign a proclamation honoring March 31st as Transgender Day of Visibility. And let me start right here by saying, look, if you want to dress up, you know, put on a dress if you're a male, or if you're a female and you want to act like a guy, I don't care. It's a free country. Knock yourself out. But why the city has to glorify and normalize this is beyond me. But at the same time, the mayor chose not to read and sign this proclamation. And guess what, folks? She has a First Amendment right to do just that. Whiny liberals and their friends in the media have been absolutely butchering the mayor for her actions for days now. But the First Amendment also protects us from compelled speech. It not only protects you from what you say, but it also protects you from what you don't want to have to say or do. And no agency of government in America has the right to force anyone to say things against their will or against their conscience. And that's what Mayor Wu was doing, was choosing to exercise her First Amendment rights. In an effort to explain why she refused to sign the proclamation, Mayor Wu said, and I'm quoting here, "Your gender identity and religious choices are none of my business. If a proclamation came in wishing the opposite of this one, I wouldn't vote for or read that either. I'm not here to virtue signal, and I don't stand for hate of any kind." Good for her. Because this Transgender Day of Visibility proclamation was pandering and virtue signaling. That's all it was. And if she wants to step aside and not join in on this nonsense, that's her right as a citizen of the United States. She didn't surrender that right by being elected to serve as mayor of Wichita. The uproar over Mayor Wu's decision to delegate the reading of the Transgender Day of Visibility proclamation is asinine. And the manufactured outrage surrounding this non-situation is just another act of blatant partisanship designed by those who hate the mayor in a naked attempt to try and take her down. If you don't believe me, just look at who's leading the charge against her. Mayor Farquaad, former Mayor Brandon Whipple. My God, that's fun to say. Former Mayor Brandon Whipple. Let's be clear, this isn't about unity or inclusion, these proclamations for transgenderism. It's just pandering. A chance for Whipple's allies and Whipple himself, who's still nursing a stick in the eye after his landslide loss, to try and undermine a mayor who's proving herself far more capable than her critics or her predecessor. Wu allowed the council members who voted for this radical and vastly unpopular nonsense to take ownership of an issue that they were passionate about. If the four members who voted for it are so proud of their votes, they should have relished the chance to stand with the guy who brought it. And I did say guy who brought it. Meanwhile, Mayor Wu continues to focus on pressing issues like, oh, I don't know, excessive spending and taxes and crime and economic development and honesty. The priorities that she campaigned on and won on with overwhelming support. Her critics, however, seem more interested in virtue signaling and scoring political points than addressing Wichita's actual needs. Mayor Wu won her election by a landslide because Wichitans wanted Brandon Whipple out of the mayor's seat. You know, the booster seat. They wanted someone who would prioritize results over rhetoric and not use the mayor's office or the booster seat to award favors to their cronies. And that's exactly what Mayor Wu is doing, and that's why they're going after her. And while Maggie Ballard's want to give the middle finger to people in their photo, the others play games, Whipple stirs the pot from behind the scenes, the mayor remains focused on governing. If Tuttle and Ballard and Johnson and Hoheisel are so worried about inclusion and diversity, When will they proclaim Straight Christian MAGA Voter Day of Visibility? As far as I'm concerned, this is pandering at its worst. We'll take a quick break, and then Elizabeth Patton from Americans for Prosperity will be with us to discuss how education freedom is spreading throughout the country and what we need to do to bring school choice to Kansas. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk, broadcasting live from Topeka, brought to you by our friends at Eck Insurance. For any of your insurance needs, make sure to check out my friends at Eck Insurance. Want to remind you also about our friends at Americans for Prosperity. AFP believes freedom and opportunity are the keys to unleashing prosperity for all. You have the power to change the trajectory of our city and our country. Make your voice heard today. Visit AmericansForProsperity.org and get involved. Sign up. While you're at it, make sure you like and follow the John Whitmer Show Facebook and True Social pages. And follow me on X at John R. Whitmer to get all the latest updates on the show. Last year, we witnessed incredible victories for education freedom across the nation. But we're not done yet. Over 500 grassroots activists rallied at the Texas Capitol last week and stood alongside Governor Greg Abbott to champion House Bill 3, the House's groundbreaking school choice bill. Well, what happens in Texas will set the tone for education policy nationwide. With us now to kind of tell us how we can use what's happening in Texas to bring true education freedom to Kansas is Elizabeth Patton from AFP Kansas. Families deserve freedom to choose their education path, Elizabeth. I mean, you tell me, but I'm hoping we can finally do that here in Kansas. For a red state, we sure don't have much in the way of school choice.
Oh, I agree. You know, President Trump recently called school choice the civil rights issue of all time, and I think he's absolutely right. And I think as we see more rural states, you know, and even though Texas, everything's bigger in Texas, sure, but I would still qualify them. They have a lot of rural areas in Texas, but we saw Arkansas, we've seen Iowa, we've seen Arizona, we've seen a lot of Wyoming just a few weeks ago passed an ESA as well. And as more rural states come together and see that this is actually bringing more opportunity and education freedom, but actually more options to their state, I think it helps us convince the holdouts that this really is what's best for our communities and what's best for our kids. It has to happen.
And what's happening in Texas isn't just about one state. I mean, it's part. This is a national, larger Absolutely. Movement, and policies like universal education savings account. They create ripples that affect true Yep. reform. The thing that frustrates me is the people who should be behind this, like the unions, like the Association of School Boards. They're so opposed to this, aren't they, Elizabeth?
They are, and it's so sad, and I don't think they can really see the forest through the trees. Right. And you're right. You know, if it happens in Texas, I think that is the final that's a big piece of the pie that we would need to finally get this done here as well, and for the rest of the country to come alongside. But we have open enrollment in Kansas. It went into effect for the first time this year, and we have seen as people understand that exists and it continues, it keeps helping people. Gosh, we even saw Governor Kelly's own KEEP program that she has was highly used by parents, which, you know, I think right. is funny because it's like a mini tiny ESA. I'm like, people want this. We know that, you know, about 70% of parents want this. They want to be empowered to make sure their kids are getting the education that's best for them. Because we all know, like, I've got four kids. Not every kid is the same, and not every community is the same. And this is not just for urban areas. This is for rural areas as well, but to their benefit. It becomes an economic issue. If all the states around us have all these economic or educational opportunities, and Kansas is once again behind, businesses are going to start looking at that too.
Well, and the sad part is the students that benefit most from this are those low-income students. It's not the people who can afford to send their kids to private school, because they're going to do that anyway. It's those disadvantaged, the poor kids, the ones who right. can't afford it. They're the ones that right. benefit most from this.
Right. Like, we already, you hear some of my colleagues say this, we have school choice in Kansas for those who can afford it.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. We're talking with Elizabeth Patton from AFP Kansas. Elizabeth, I got to ask you, I know you, I saw a tweet that you sent out recently, and I know this has been a huge victory. In fact, we had the Attorney General speak to the Sedgwick County Republican Party last Thursday night. He talked about what a huge win getting judicial selection on the ballot next year has been. I mean, that's, I remember when I was in the legislature, I came in the year after they last tried this. It failed by 2 or 3 votes. This is a big deal. It's a great opportunity. But again, we still have to get it passed, right?
We do. We still have to get it passed. What they have voted to put on the ballot is direct elections of judges, which, for example, the 18th district in Kansas, Sedgwick County area, they have this already. So they're used to electing their judges down there, and they've got some really good ones who've gotten in. And they've seen that this is a smart process. Kansas used to have the election of judges. That's
right.
Original to our Kansas Constitution.
For 100 years, it was that way.
Yep. For 100 years, it was that way. And a lot of what we heard in testimony was the reason they got rid of it was not did not have anything to do with the elections. It was honestly about some of the governor and the lieutenant governor at the time. And they threw the baby out with the bathwater, really. And so now we have an opportunity to actually get our judicial system to be one that is giving people the voice that they deserve. It says in our Kansas Constitution that all political power is inherent in the people. So we are trying to make sure that that's true. But this has been 20 years coming. You're right. This has been a 20-year battle. We have votersnotlawyers.com if you want to learn more about what the system looks like now. And we will be adding more information to that site as we go. And we're just asking that folks who want to get involved, they help us get people educated. We're doing all of our traditional campaign work to get people to understand how important this issue is and vote yes on SDR 1611 all the way in 2026. But we're getting started now.
And that's what I was going to ask is, you know, I know the election isn't until next year, but the time to really inform voters about this is now, because I've noticed the left is already gearing up. They're already talking about merit, and this will end up buying judges, even though, of course, they already stand for retention. So if we were buying judges, they'd already be bought and paid for. So that's a hollow argument. But, you know, we really do need to start educating voters now before people start baking in their opinions on this.
Absolutely. And the way that our system is now, you know, and if you read some of the questions that have been provided about what some of the attorneys asked the judges on, you know, who they're nominating to be, so right now the attorneys have the control over basically an entire branch of government. And, and you read some of those questions that they ask that are not very hard hitting, to be honest. You know, you really, these people have to sit in front of the judges. You've got the fox guarding the hen house. It's very, it's undemocratic. It's not not transparent, and that's what we're trying to help people understand is that I thought Speaker Dan Hawkins said it great when they put out their press release. What we're asking for is merit selection by the people, because we trust Kansas voters to make darn good decisions when it comes to their elected officials, and they've done it repeatedly over the years, and we think that's the most fair way to get an impartial court.
You know, I like the way you put that, because it's almost you could say it's dismissive. I think it also is actually insulting the way that the opposition is saying. It's almost like they're saying the voters are too dumb to make this decision.
Right. That they're comfortable with. And that's what we heard over and over again by opponents was, oh, well, we need to leave it to this very elitist group of people who clearly know better than all of us. Like, you know, I mean, full transparency, I'm married to a lawyer. He's a nice guy. I love him, but he's not more qualified than I am to make a decision on a judge. And, you know, I came home that day and saw his paper to, you know, nominate for the nominating commission in our mail that day after testifying. And I was like, you know, my husband has a voice in this and I don't. You get to understand why this is not a fair system where some people have a say in Kansas, but not all people have
a say. It's elitist. And when you think that, okay, we trust the voters to pick our governors, our members of Congress, our president, but we can't pick judges. I mean, come on. It is insulting. Again, if people want to volunteer, if they want to door knock, if they want to get more information, what's that website again?
Sure, votersnotlawyers.com. They can head on over to that, or they can reach out on social media and reach out to us on X, on Instagram, on Facebook, AFP Kansas. Go on any of those social media platforms and send us a note. Or, yes, votersnotlawyers.com. You can always also check out more of our agenda items at sunflowerstatesolutions.com and get involved there as well. And we'd love to have you help. We're knocking doors now. There is no time to lose to educate voters right now on this important issue.
Elizabeth, thank you. I know you guys, from what I understand, I was just talking with one of our state reps here, since I'm sitting here in Topeka. I guess they're looking to wrap the session next Friday. So
they are.
Hopefully
are.
you'll get us a good tax bill next week. We'll have Senator Renee Erickson here in a second. She can give us some insights. But, wow, that's a fast session. So
it's
you're going to be busy
session.
Next week, I imagine.
It's going to be crazy. I've got lots of push the easy button on meals next week, and I said it's going to be some late nights, folks. But no, tax bill is our final piece of the puzzle next week. We're excited about what we've seen start to come together, and we're really hopeful that we'll get a lot of good pieces, including, and I have to put a plug in for using excess revenues instead of spending it, giving it back to taxpayers and lowering our income tax rate by buying that down over time. And that's what I'm hoping will come out of this, along with some other really good pieces. And I think Kansans will be happy that they sent the folks to Topeka to lower the cost of living, because they are doing that now and they're working on that. And they're going to have a great product at the end of next week, I feel confident.
Love that idea. Elizabeth, thank you very much. And well, I'm sure we'll be in touch.
I appreciate it. Thanks so much. Have a great evening.
Thanks again. You too. Coming up, Senator Renee Erickson will bring us our weekly Under the Dome legislative update from Topeka. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show, broadcasting live from Topeka. Thanks to our friends at Eck Insurance. We'll take a quick break. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk, broadcasting live from Topeka, thanks to our friends at Eck Insurance. You can always listen to us by telling your smart speaker to play KNSS Radio. And don't forget, from breaking news to severe weather updates, just download the Always Live free Odyssey app to get started. And, of course, make sure you like and follow me on X at John R. Whitmer to get all the latest updates on the show. Well, every week while the legislature is in session, and that ends next Friday, apparently, we bring you a live legislative update, our Under the Dome legislative update from Topeka. Actually, tonight it's actually from Topeka. With us now is State Senator Renee Erickson. Renee, thank you for joining us. It's always a pleasure to have you on the show, especially now when we're here together. It's kind of fun.
I love it. Thanks for having me, John.
We talked a little bit. You heard the last segment. We touched on it briefly with Elizabeth Patton from AFP. You know, tax relief has been a big issue all session, both property taxes. I actually heard on my way up that you guys are once again looking at income taxes and a single rate, which is a shock. I didn't realize you were looking back at that again. Conference committees have kind of now, it's at that stage, because the House has a very different bill than what you guys have in the Senate. So my question is, where are we at? I mean, I know from conversations with other senators and from conversations with your colleagues in the, well, I call it the upper chamber. You won't, obviously, but in the House, they're very different positions.
Yes.
Are we going to get a compromise? What do you think? What do you think it ends up being? I mean, they're very opposite positions.
We are, John, but I think at the end of the day, we all heard very loud and clear that the number one issue for our voters when we were out on the doorstep was property tax relief. We do have two very different plans. The House has a different plan. The Senate, we passed our 3% cap on valuations year over year, which the House doesn't really like. They have a different plan, setting up an ad astra account, which would then be a motivation for those local governments that do not exceed the rate of inflation or the CPIU, which is the Midwest average of the inflation rate. And so very different approaches. But at the end of the day, as you said, we're headed in a conference committee. The tax committee from the House and the tax committee from the Senate will be meeting and hashing out those differences. And I'm cautiously optimistic that we will get a compromise bill because we know how important it is to Kansans.
Let me ask you, since you brought it up, I don't know if you saw, we're going to have Dave Traubert on the show a little bit later, but there was an interesting piece that he issued. This came out actually earlier today, 9 o'clock this morning, from Dave Traubert, who's from the Kansas Policy Institute. But he basically says that as part of their Ad Astra plan, they're effectively eliminating the revenue neutral policy. Now, I mean, don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
I hate revenue neutral in that they always exceed it.
Right.
Which frustrates the heck out of me. I wish that they'd actually stick to that revenue neutral and stop exceeding it, because as far as I'm concerned, every time you exceed it, it's a tax increase. But apparently, according to Dave, in the House bill, they're basically eliminating that. Now, is that true, or is Dave misinterpreting it, or have you looked at the House bill?
I have looked at it. That is true. They're eliminating the revenue neutral rate. That's not sitting well in the Senate. I'll be just blunt about that.
Now, if I had a House rep sitting across from me, what would he say in defense of that?
I think they would say that they are providing an alternative to that, which is a protest petition format that they like better than revenue neutral, I think is what they would say. But
how does that work? So let's say, as it happens every year, Sedgwick County exceeds revenue neutral, because they've done that every year. I get that exceeded, then I can file a protest to that?
I believe so.
And then
there, I believe, if I remember right, there would be a hearing.
Okay.
And where the public could, kind of like revenue neutral, could protest the raising.
And who hears that?
I would assume your local officials.
They hear it, but they could just ignore it?
Well, that's a good question for the House.
Okay. So are there any consequences? Because right now there's no consequence for them exceeding revenue neutral either. So it's frustrating.
No, there is not. And as I believe that article, if I remember, I read it this morning as well, doing away with that could cost, about $65 million?
$61 million tax increase is what he's alleging.
Yes, I believe that was the figure I remember as well. Yeah, I think revenue neutral has at least shed some light and held some of our locals responsible for when they want to exceed.
Yeah. Oh, trust me, every election cycle I've been hitting our city councils and our county commissioners for R&R, and when they exceed it, I get mad at them because it's a tax increase.
It absolutely is. And up until now, they've gotten a pass. So I'm not sure why the House wants to mess with that. I think that's a good thing. I want to keep it in. But I'm going to be open to a compromise because, like I said, at the end of the day, we've got to get property tax relief for Kansans.
And it's interesting, again, like I said, on the drive up here, I heard that both chambers are looking at the single rate income tax, which,
correct,
again, is a great idea. I love the idea. Hey, Pat, come on over here for a second. I love the idea of a single rate income tax again.
Right.
Because, wow, I mean, looking at income taxes is a fantastic idea.
I love it, too. And how that would work is that we would basically, when revenue exceeds the inflation rate, we would buy down our income tax rate. What we have to be careful of, though, John, and we all know this is the cautionary tale, we still have to control spending. And I think we're talking about cutting taxes. If we learn nothing before, we've got to control spending. And to that end, we had a bill on the Senate this last week that the president brought that would limit spending to the rate of inflation plus growth. We could not spend more than that.
Great idea.
Yeah. And it passed in the Senate, and I think that's a great idea because I think that's the other side of the coin we keep ignoring. Hey, we need to put more money in people's pockets. We got to control our spending. Our budget is spending for this year 15.5% more than we spent last year. And I keep harping on this. We've got to stop spending. If we're going to provide more money for folks, we've got to control our spending here in Topeka.
We're talking with State Senator Renee Erickson. Renee, if you don't mind, since I've got
one of the beauties
of sitting here in Topeka is occasionally we get folks that just wander in. I've got State Representative Pat Proctor. Pat, grab that. We were talking about the property tax plans. One of the issues, I don't know if you saw the letter that came out from Dave Traubert about revenue neutral and doing away with that. Yeah. And obviously the Senate's got their plan. I'm curious, is he right in his interpretation of that?
Well, I'll tell you, I am a truth and taxation fanboy, no doubt. I mean, I fought for it.
Yeah, I'm a taxpayer bill of rights guy.
There you go. Yeah, I fought for it when it started, and I was knocking doors and pounding the pavement, trying to get voters to hold folks accountable for for rising property taxes in Leavenworth and in my district. And the sad truth is that Republicans just don't come out in the odd year elections, and we can keep trying to do the same thing and get the same result, or we can decide to try to add some incentives to it. And so
that's what the protest petition would do.
I have the deepest respect for Dave Traubert and KPI, but I simply disagree with him on this. I don't think we're doing away with truth in taxation. I think that we're putting some teeth to it. There's a carrot. If you keep your budget under a certain level, you're going to get a bonus, bonus from the state in terms of additional revenue to augment your budget. But if you don't hold the line, the taxpayers can walk right into their county clerk's office and they can sign a petition and make you. And that's what we haven't had because, I love truth and taxation, but at the end of the day, it worked for a year or two, and then those local elected officials realized that they weren't going to be held accountable, and they went right back to raising our taxes.
And I do. I like that idea because, as I've noted, every year they keep exceeding revenue neutral in Sedgwick County. They keep coming up with this cockamamie story. Oh, well, we can't, or we have to, while they're building $10 million elephant barns, for example. And yet they still claim that they have to do it. Or in the city of Wichita, we have to do it while they build $600,000 golden porta potties and $1.2 million in art at the water treatment plant. So I do like the idea of a protest petition. Is that kind of where you're thinking, Renee? Or again, it's lovely having a senator in the House, but this also shows why these two plans are so, why the two chambers are so diametrically opposed on taxes.
Absolutely. Nothing but respect for my colleague across the chamber here, but the carrot that they're using, to quote my good friend Stephen Owens, it's a carrot. It's like a carrot to a Clydesdale. It's such a small incentive, and why should we pay locals for doing what they should be doing?
For doing their jobs.
That's right. Should we be paying them for what they should be doing to begin with? And it's a carrot to a Clydesdale. It's not going to be enough, I don't think, to alter behavior. I'm all for teeth. I don't think this is the way to get teeth in it.
I'm on my quarter break. Let me take a quick break. This is a perfect illustration of why I'm not entirely sure anybody's going to get any tax relief coming up. But, you've got another week. We'll take a quick break. Do you mind sticking around?
Of course.
All right, we'll take a quick break. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show, broadcasting live from Topeka, thanks to my friends at Eck Insurance. We'll be back right after this.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids to a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Big moments or small moments, they all deserve great style. At Maurice's, we're here to help you show up feeling your best, no matter what's on your calendar. Whether it's a date night, a special event, or just another Tuesday, our over 800 stylists are here to help. From tried and true denim to head-turning looks, we've got style that fits your life and your budget. Visit your local Maurice's to find fashion fit for you with a little help from us.
Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk, broadcasting live from Topeka, thanks to our friends at Eck Insurance. Want to remind you as well about our friends at Americans for Prosperity. Don't forget, AFP believes that freedom and opportunity are the keys to unleashing prosperity. If you want to make your voices heard, you want to get involved in helping, for example, to educate voters about the upcoming Supreme Court selection process, visit AmericansForProsperity.org and sign up today. And, of course, while you're at it, make sure you like and follow the John Whitmer Show Facebook page and follow us on X at John R. Whitmer to get all the latest updates on the show. We still have with us State Senator Renee Erickson and Representative Pat Proctor for a dual legislative update, ironically. Let me start with the Senate. I had the Speaker Pro Tem with us last week, asked him about two bills he had no clue. So I'll ask you, Renee, about these two because they're in your chamber.
Okay.
Two marijuana bills. Senate Bill 294 was introduced, this authorizing the processing, distribution, sale, and use of medical marijuana. And let's see, you also had Senate Bill 288, which would ban, House Bill 2405, which would legalize marijuana cultivation, manufacturing, possession, and sale. That's basically, come and get it, all free marijuana. Any chance either of those see the light of day?
I hope not.
Don't mince words, Renee. What do you really think?
I hope and pray not. I mean, if we learn anything, you know, we try to make this out as some financial boondoggle, and what we've seen is it's a boondoggle, all right. It hurts your finances. It's bad for the workforce. It's bad for our kids. It's bad for law enforcement. I certainly hope we don't go down this path, and until the federal government changes its schedule on marijuana, we truly can't have true medical marijuana. It can't be prescribed by a doctor and dispensed by a pharmacy, and until that day, I'm a firm no.
You don't think it'll go anywhere, then, I take it.
Are they even holding
hearings on it? Because you've only got a week, so not, if they don't, it's...
Not that I know of. The only committee that I know meeting is Public Health and Welfare outside of conference committees. That could change. As you know, everything's fluid.
Well, nothing dies in Topeka.
Nothing dies, but I certainly hope we do not. We do this. We tend to do this every session where at the last minute, we try to throw a marijuana bill through, and every time we're able to stop it, and I hope that's the case this time.
Any chance it comes up in the House?
We passed it once.
So. Yeah, that's what Blake said. Yeah, you did your job.
Now, I will say I voted against it last time, and I compare this to, frankly, the sports gambling bill, which I also opposed. You know, you have these huge billion-dollar industries that come in, write a bill for us, and tell us, this is what I want you to pass. And it's just chock full of all the advantages and all of the loopholes that they want that they've already exploited in other states. And then we pass it, and then we're stunned when all of a sudden we're not getting any of the tax revenue we said we were going to be getting, you know. And so I I used to bring up Colorado, but now we've got an even more recent example, Oklahoma.
Oklahoma,
they've got shipping containers full of Chinese farmers out in pot fields, farming the fields, and it's an epicenter for smuggling into the states that haven't legalized. And so I'm a hard no on all the plans I've seen. Maybe someday somebody's going to come with a bill that I can live with, but as of now, I'm going to say no.
Do me a favor, hand that microphone over there. See, again, the beauty of being in Topeka, since the Speaker of the House just happened to sit down, any chance the House takes up marijuana the next, since you're ending next Friday, apparently?
No.
How did I not see that coming? Renee, let me come back to you. The Senate Judiciary Committee heard testimony about, and this is an interesting one, banning sex offenders from being on school property. This seems like a no-brainer. I mean, how could anybody oppose this? And yet apparently there were people who were opposed to this.
There were people opposed to it. They thought that maybe it was too harsh to say that if you're...
Oh my gosh, how is it too harsh to ban a sex offender from school property?
Well, you know, we got some bleeding hearts, and they think only about, you know, the offender and not the other children who are there at the school. And this stemmed from a case up, I believe, in the Johnson County area where a sex offender apparently went to a parent-daughter dance. There were some questions about some behavior, and so this bill came to fruition. Everyone already thought we did ban sex offenders from being within a certain amount of space from a school. Apparently, that's not the case. It did pass the Senate, so we'll see what happens.
Dan, you think will you take that up, do you think? Or
I thought we had done something this last week with it. Maybe we didn't.
Well, then there we go. See, and that goes to show.
I was thinking that we did do something with that, but I'll have to check. Sorry.
That may be one that the governor, you know, may veto. Because knowing this governor, speaking of governor vetoes, I was asking, meaning to ask Renee, but since you're here, I'll ask you. She's got, you said, Renee,
three election bills
including,
on her desk.
Including right. Voter citizenship verification. I'm assuming she's going to veto that, don't you think?
Oh, I would imagine she'll veto most of our election bills, and we'll override those vetoes.
I mean, again, this is our middle-of-the-road governor.
Well, you know, that's kind of a misnomer. I think that everybody has figured out that she resides in the left ditch most of the time. So I think people are finally figuring that out. I mean, she's done some things that... even during this last election campaign that made it pretty evident that she is not middle of the road. Now, she can say it all she wants, and I'm going to tell you every time that it's wrong. So,
Renee, did you happen to see the tweet she sent out? I don't know if Dan, if you saw it, or you, Pat, if you saw it, but she sent out a tweet today taking credit for the $2 billion in tax relief. And I thought to myself, this is the same one that she spent, you know, months opposing, vetoing multiple times, trying to kill, and now she's taking credit for it. You know, again, if you guys are able to cobble together some kind of compromise on a tax bill this time, she'll take credit for that too, no doubt.
Well, she'll get her hatchet out again and run around saying how she's cutting taxes like she did the sales tax on food. And anyone who knows that she's taking credit for the work of the Republicans in the legislature. So nothing new there.
Yeah, but before we leave the election stuff, there's one really important thing still sitting over there in the Senate that I'm hoping they're going to take up. We have the constitutional amendment to make it clear in the Kansas Constitution that only citizens can vote in state. Not in statute anywhere, not in our Constitution. And if we're going to, you know, if we're able to override the veto on that, check of citizenship on our voter rolls, we have to have that in place or the Supreme Court's just going to overturn it.
There's also, I know that another issue that's hanging out there is the how appointments or how selections are made to replace key vacancies. Where are we sitting with that?
Well, we've sent it to the governor. Okay. We sent the governor.
She'll veto that.
I assume she will. We worked with the chairman of Fed and State over in the Senate,
right.
Senator Thompson, and we came out with a compromise and we sent it to the governor. And we were just waiting for that veto to break out the veto pen so we can override it and send it back to
her. Dan, you expect we can override that?
I would bet a lot on that one.
Okay.
I think we actually had the override vote, the numbers to override the vote when we did it. Actually, most all of the stuff, there's a few things out there that we won't be able to override, but most of the stuff we had good, strong 84, 85 numbers on the votes as we did them. So I'm expecting lots of overrides. I would say, though, that it wouldn't surprise me a bit, because she does know that so many things will be overridden, that she might get a little bit more serious about what she lets become law instead of signing, because she knows she's going to get overridden.
Just because she doesn't want to add to that long list of how many things you've overridden over the years.
So I think that's going to be something to watch when we get to veto session, just what she has vetoed and what she didn't and did not sign, because I think there will be quite a few of those.
Well, since I've got the two of you here, particularly Dan, next Friday, hope maybe Dan Friday or Saturday, you're likely to end. Then, from what I was hearing, you're back in a couple of weeks for veto override session.
Oh, I think actually not Friday or Saturday, probably Thursday. Ty and I are we're both really wanting out Thursday.
Wow.
But if things don't go right, then we'll be here Friday.
So it's going to be a quick turnaround. I appreciate it. This has been fantastic to have all three of you here. And once we get everything done, I'm sure I will have one of you at least for our wrap-up session. Guys, I appreciate you. Thank you very much. We'll take a quick break. When we come back, Paula Scanlon will help us. A former UPenn swimmer will be with us.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Bitcoin might sound complicated, but the Gemini credit card makes it so simple. Use it like any credit card. Buy lunch, gas, or your weekly groceries, and you'll earn up to 4% back instantly in Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos straight to your account. No annual fee. And right now, you can grab a $200 Bitcoin intro bonus. It's the easiest way to start building your Bitcoin stash. Go to Gemini.com/card to learn more. Terms apply. Issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.